A couple quick things. There's a Walk for Life table in the back, so do check that out before you leave today as well. Even if you can't participate, they're looking for sponsors. I still need sponsors. I know there are others that still need sponsors. So you can check that out. They can help you in the back afterwards. Also, after this service, about 1 o'clock, we're having what we're calling a newcomer luncheon. And so if you're newer to Adventure Church, and I'll just let you determine what that looks like for you. If you'd like just to meet some people and interact with some of the staff, some of the leadership team, very informal. There's no like presentation we're making, just an opportunity to connect with each other. We've got lunch provided. It's going to be an adventure village. So if you'd love to help with that, if there are a couple of folks from the church who might be able to help Pastor Jordan, he's going to be setting up tables and we're going to get some chairs. You good? Oh, solid. Okay, Pastor Jordan says we're solid, so we're good there. So please come. If you want to enjoy lunch, we would love to interact with you a little bit and answer any questions you might have about adventure. And then in a couple weeks, we have Pastor Caleb is going to be here, Caleb Kaltenbach, Messy Grace Weekend. So take a look at that insert in your bulletin. Plan to be here, invite a friend, share the Facebook event, and very excited about hearing his presentation, his story, and we would love for you to be here for that weekend. So we're in week number 2 of our Reset series. Last week, Reset Our Heart. Today, Reset Our Mind. And we're really offering just 4 simple prayers as we go through this series together. They're up here on the screen. Jesus, reset my heart, a resetting of our faith. Jesus, reset my mind, a resetting of our thoughts. Jesus, reset my voice, a resetting of our words. And finally, Jesus, reset my hands, a resetting of our work. If you look at your sermon message insert in your bulletin, you'll find this this statement. The best part of spending time with Jesus is that we get to know him. As we learn to focus on Jesus, we can't help but become more like him, more self-aware, more confident, more self-controlled, more content. And so as we unpack today what it means to reset our minds, I'm encouraged by what God has already done this weekend and what we anticipate his doing in this service today. So Psalm 27 is where we are today. And so if you would turn there, please. It's page 508 if you have one of those adventure Bibles we just handed out. And our custom is to stand for the opening reading of Scripture. So would you stand with us, please, if you're able to? And I will read through these 14 verses you follow along with me this morning. The Bible says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Shall we pray? Father, thank you for these moments we have together this morning. Help us, instruct us, teach us. Father, open our ears and our hearts and our minds to you today. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to gather and to teach your word, and I pray that it would be impactful in our hearts and lives today, and we'll give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everybody. You can be seated. As we think about this psalm, and we're going to go to one other text in the New Testament here in just a moment, but as we think about this psalm and a lot of the language that David is using about where he is and the battles that surround him and the things that he is struggling through, We read here in verse number 3, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. We recognize that in David's life, there were many opportunities where his life was in danger. The battle that he was going through was a literal physical battle where people wanted to destroy him, wanted to kill him, wanted to annihilate him and his family and his house. Okay? And that was the real danger, the real battle that he experienced as he's writing this psalm. Most of the battles that we engage in today are not battles related to physical armies or physical opponents. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. And even though we may not experience the same kind of fear or the same kind of onslaught that David was experiencing as related to the physical armies and the physical struggles, make no mistake about it, every person in this room is in a battle. There is a spiritual battle that is raging in and around each and every one of us. And most of our struggles begin with a dark thought. They begin here in the mind. A thought of despair, fear, inadequacy, greed, hopelessness, hatefulness, haughtiness, and on it goes. Over the last several weeks, I've been very transparent with all of you, and that's how I tend to be, for better or for worse, about some of my journey as it relates to my health. And I appreciate all the great, comments. Someone came in, they're like, who's that skinny guy, like, greeting people at the door? I'm like, I don't know. Who is that guy? It's certainly not me. And so I appreciate, all that encouragement. As I've thought about, this journey, and I was thinking this week, actually, I hadn't actually put this together earlier, but I put together this week, that for as long as I can remember, as long as I have memory, I don't think there's been an Easter season that has gone by until this one that I did not have a marshmallow peep or a Cadbury egg. And this was my first Easter without either of those things. So I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So anyway, and I survived. I lived to tell the tale, I love those peeps. Oh, man. That's angel candy right there. Man, good stuff. They're even better at Christmas time when they've been sitting on your shelf. Anyway, that's... But as I think about, kind of what I've, struggled through over the years and, still struggling through, still working... the battle, the struggle, it's not about the food. It's not about even what my body's craving. You know where the battle is? Right here. It's in my mind. It's in my mind. Do I really need that? Not really. I don't. My body doesn't need that to get by. But my mind says, that looks so good. And so I've been in this process of trying to, replacement, like, okay, I can't have this, so maybe I can have this instead. And I've done fairly well. But I remember about 6 weeks ago was the first time I was really confronted with okay, this is my first real test. I was with my family, with Gracie and Tracy. We were at Chili's in Rockland, and I can eat at Chili's. There's something on the menu that I can eat at Chili's. But there's Gracie sitting across from me with chips and queso, and she's just shoveling in her mouth. And I'm like, that looks really good. That looks really good. And I know that queso's off limits, but I was pretty new to the program still, and I was like, I don't think I can have chips, on this program, but I'm gonna check. So I texted my coach right there. I'm like, hey, I'm guessing this is a no, but chips and salsa? And she texted me no, sorry, no chips, on the program. I'm like, oh, man. She texts me back. She goes, you can get some celery, and you can have that with the salsa, and that'll be good. I said, okay. So I grabbed the waiter. I said, hey, can you bring me a little bowl of celery? And so I brought the celery over, and I dipped it in the salsa, and I texted her back nope, not working for me at all. Sorry. Nice try, but sorry. Didn't work. So I'm trying all these different, things, cauliflower crust pizza and cauliflower rice, and you might have seen on my Facebook this week, I tried, there's this thing, for a replacement for tater tots, because tater tots are, that's great stuff, but they're made out of broccoli. They're broccoli. Not bad, not terrible. I would never not eat them again. But I was looking for tater tot, and it didn't quite work. But where is the battle? So that's my battle. My battle, it's in my mind. It's in my mind. And no matter what it is in our life, often, more often than not, the battle is going to start, the battle is going to rage right between your ears, right here in your mind. And as we come to this subject this week, we're reminded and we're encouraged that Jesus wants to reset our minds. And so we want to talk about that today. So here's our kind of our flow. We're looking at the biblical background, a contemporary insight, some key takeaways, and then my action steps. That's how we're unpacking this as we go week to week. So number one, let's look at the biblical background. And we see that the victory of Jesus as seen through the life of the madman of Gerasenes, right? The victory of Jesus as seen through the life of the madman of Gerasenes. And for this, we're going to turn to Mark chapter number 5, okay? Mark chapter number 5. So if you'll turn there quickly with me, it's page 931 in that Adventure Bible. Interesting sidelight about this text as you're looking it up. If you're going to have the opportunity to go with us to Israel in January, February 2021, you will stand right in the place where this story takes place. It was a great experience for me this last January to hear teaching on this passage that I've read and listened to for a number of years, but to be actually in the place and looking around and seeing the hills, I mean, all the stuff really just coming to life. And so that's going to be a great treat for those that are able to go. Okay? Mark chapter number 5, let me read these 20 verses, okay? They came to the other side of the sea, that's the Sea of Galilee, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right, what?
Mind.
And they were super happy for him. No, they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and now he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. The victory of Jesus is seen through the life of the madman of Gerasenes. Now, if this madman had a social media account, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know what his hashtag would have been? Jesus changes everything.
Yeah.
That's our hashtag for this series. Jesus absolutely turned this man's life upside down. And the evil, the tormenting that had been brought upon him by the evil one, and the twisting that had occurred in his mind, Jesus brings his power to bear in that situation, and he is clothed and in his right mind. Jesus had power over the evil one who had brought this man to such a place. We talked last week about the idol. We talked about in the Jesus Reset My Heart about the Ark of the Covenant. And when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant, they brought it to the temple of their false god, Dagon. And they set it in the temple, and the next morning they come in, and the idol is down on its face in front of the Ark of the Covenant, like bowing before it. And they're like, well, that's weird. So they put it back up, and then they leave, and then they come back the next morning, and the exact same thing had happened. The idol was down on its face before the Ark of the Covenant, but this time with its head and its hands chopped off. And it was this demonstration that no matter what that idol is, no matter what that thing that's seeking to rule on the throne of your heart, everything will bow before God in the presence of God one day. And in this story, we have the evil one himself, bowing to the power of Jesus. There's not anything that this man is going through that creates mayhem and turmoil and distress and disorder and all the things. The madman of Gerasenes and all that's described about him, even that was not so much that Jesus could not exert his power and make that man whole, resetting his heart, resetting his mind. Let's move to the contemporary insight. In the midst of our turmoil, and I put the word turmoil there, I want you to put your word there. In the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our anxiety, in the midst of our distress, in the whatever it is in your life, in the midst of our turmoil, we must rush toward Messiah and lower ourselves in submission. That's exactly what happens here in the text. When he saw Jesus, verse number 6, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. Okay, Jesus didn't get off the boat and say, man, I've heard some crazy things about what's going on in this country. You got a guy who's living in the graveyard, he's cutting himself, he's an absolute maniac. I got to find this guy because that's not what it says. Okay, there are lots of places in Scripture where Jesus does that very thing. He must needs go through Samaria because the woman at the well is there and other cases. But in this case, Jesus gets off the boat and this man rushes to him and he lowers himself, falls on his knees before him. And that's a great reminder for us in the midst of our turmoil to rush toward Messiah and lower ourselves in submission. So the book Reset that this series is based on was written by a guy by the name of Nick Hall. He's the one that's in our in the video. There's a picture of him, and I would encourage you to pick that up at some point. In his book, he outlines a bunch of scenarios, and it's a little bit lengthy, so I'm sitting down. I'm going to read them to you here this morning. And it talks about the narrative of people's lives and the opportunity that Jesus has to invade that narrative. Okay, so let me just give you a number of these scenarios that he unpacks in his book. Today there's a young woman in Houston who believes she is worthless, hopeless, and fat. She is 19 years old. When she was 8 years old, unbeknownst to her parents, the father of a neighbor friend took advantage of her naivety, her innocence, her proximity. The encounter didn't last long, but the effects did. Not knowing where to turn for help, she turned inward, stuffing her secret deep, hoping nobody would ever know. She had been used and then tossed aside, a message that struck and then misshaped her soul. I'm worthless, her inner voice began repeating. I'm a throwaway. I'm hopeless. And eventually, after turning to junk food binges for solace for years on end, I'm fat. Today, another 19-year-old woman, this one in Chicago, believes that the idea of God is nothing more than a cruel joke. Of course he doesn't exist. And even if he did, how could he love someone like her? For so many years, she was told that she was the reason her mother suffered from severe depression, that if she, the young woman, hadn't been born, things would have been easier on the mom. Sometimes the mom would convey these things on the way to church, which was part of the family's every weekend routine. How could her mother scorn her one minute and then sing praises to God the next? God was a joke. Life was a joke. The tequila, the cocaine, the serial hookups with guys she barely knew, the cutting, so much cutting over the years. It was all just a way to silence the two loud voices. You're a burden. You're the problem. You're the reason things have worked out so badly, both for your mom and for you. Today in Texas, there is a man in his 70s who was diagnosed 10 years ago with type 2 diabetes. He thinks about that diagnosis every night, late at night, after his wife has gone to bed, while he sits quietly, stealthily in the living room in front of the blue glow of one crime drama or another, stuffing himself full with whatever sugary fix he can find. cookies, ice cream, cake, donuts, crackers, bowl after bowl after bowl of Frosted Flakes. What's the use in trying to change my habits now, he reasons. I'm doomed to a diseased life. Today, a 20-something living in San Francisco is charting a new course for his life, this one in an overtly gay community. He moved here recently from Colorado, where his family still resides. It was too conservative there, he told them, as he took a job in California and moved out. The pain of his life has been real. His older sister died after enduring more than a decade-long battle with congenital brain issues. His parents nearly divorced over the family's grief, causing his dad to contemplate suicide at least twice that he knew about. He had turned to drugs for relief, but was left addicted and more hopeless than he'd been before. Rehab had been awful the first time and again the second. Life is out to get me, he had said to his counselor once, words he deeply, resolutely believes. Today, a 55-year-old man is catching yet another flight, bound for yet another speaking engagement. He is determined to reinvent himself after leaving a pastoring role he'd held for two decades' time. His marriage feels rocky. His three children are grown and don't need him like they used to, and his friendships were all based on the position he held at the church. What now? He thinks about that question a lot. What now for someone who, according to his inner voice, is, quote, past his prime, not needed or wanted by loved ones, and a little aimless these days, truth be told, with her newborn in the grocery store. Her own son, when he was 21, died in a rock climbing accident, and his brother, now 30 years old, is still single. The grief of burying her child was overwhelming, but the grief of not having grandchildren when all of her friends have grandchildren to spare is figuring to be even worse. Your son died, and now your dreams have died too, she catches herself thinking more days than she cares to admit. You are destined for death. Today, a mom of three pours herself a glass of wine after work, her third so far, just a way to unwind, she reasons silently. The alcoholism that runs in my family, it hasn't affected me. Today, a couple prepares to say goodbye to each other ahead of his 9-month deployment to Iraq. She is pregnant with their fifth child, a surprise that might have been a source of happiness for some families. For them, it was devastating news. His recent diagnosis with depression, her struggles to keep the house afloat and homeschool the four children they already have, his detachment from the marriage, her skepticism about whether even God can glue back together the fragments and shards she fears are splintered beyond repair. Things just keep getting worse, she told a confidant recently. Things are always going to get worse. Today, a wife heads to her Al-Anon meeting, her sign of support for her addicted husband who has relapsed again. She would blame him for the struggles their family of five is facing, except that her own behavior, time after time, finding satisfaction in other men's arms, indicts her. Her three girls are starting to suffer in ways she isn't sure she can manage. I should just leave, she says to herself. This thing is hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. Stretch beyond the borders of this country, and today there are men, women, boys, girls in every country on the planet wondering how they're going to make it, how they're going to survive this latest turn of events, how they're ever going to matter to anyone, what life is going to look like for them, even if they can make it past today. And in every single heart in this room, every single mind in this room, there is a narrative that Jesus wants to invade, just as he invades these narratives, and just as he invaded the narrative of the madman of Gerasenes, he offers a reset. Amen? He offers a reset. He will reset our minds. What does the Bible say? We must rush toward him, not run away. In those seasons, in those moments, in those circumstances, rush to your Messiah, rush to your Savior. Do not run away from him. Having served in pastoral ministry for almost 25 years in three different states, one thing that I have seen as a common denominator as it relates to the arsenal of the enemy, the weaponry of the enemy, the fiery darts of the wicked one, and as that is to attack the minds of believers, of followers of Jesus, when they enter into such a season to say, it's not really worth it. God isn't really going to keep his promises. The church is going to let you down. This is just, it was good for a while, but now it's time to move on to something else. and they walk away. They walk away. Friends, don't let that be your testimony. When you find yourself in such a season, rush to your Messiah. Rush to your Savior. Lower yourself in submission before Him. Learn that lesson from the madman of the Gerasenes. Let me offer two takeaways for you this morning. Number one, those with reset minds focus on the positive. Those with reset minds focus on the positive. Philippians chapter 4, this isn't in your notes, so jot this verse down. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Look what the Bible says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your what? Minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, help me out with this. Whatever is true, whatever is, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now catch this. This is not the power of positive thinking, okay? This is not just pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and thinking good thoughts and everything will just go away. La, 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 la. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm just going to think happy thoughts. No. Don't miss this, okay? Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's important. And the list that's given to us here, true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, things of excellence, things worthy of praise. Choose what you think. Man, there is so much negativity in the world. There may be negativity in your family. There may be negativity at your job place. I don't know what's going on with where you are. But those with reset hearts focus on the positive. Choose those things to think on. Choose those things to dwell on. We can get so caught up in what's happening around us. We can get so caught up in gossip. We can get so caught up in other people's circumstances, and our minds just get all twisted around. And there's no peace. And there's anxiety. And there's and all these things carrying on themselves. He says, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is not just faith in faith. I have faith in the fact that I have faith. I have hope in the fact that there's hope. No. It's in a person. It's in Jesus. The name above all names that we sang about so well this morning. Choose your focus. And I love this, what it says about what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things. I love how that is unpacked there. Practice these things. You know, if you're here this morning, say, man, I got a battle going on in my mind. I got a circumstance that I'm really struggling through. And my mind just wanders. If you came in this morning hoping for a little pixie dust from PG and a little abracadabra and you're going to walk out these doors and it's all better, all good, all gone, it doesn't work that way. You need to practice these things. Be encouraged. So many of us get so discouraged because we're not 10 miles down the road and we're not thinking about the step that's right in front of us. The evil one, the deceiver, he says, you're not where you need to be, so why even bother? Why even try? No, practice these things. Let me encourage you to practice. I'm grateful for practice, except for softball yesterday. We had softball practice, our first softball practice, and man, I've lost a bunch of weight, but I'm not in shape, and I'm kind of walking up these steps, I'm really feeling it today. Man, my legs and my shoulders and my back, but I'm grateful for the practice. Because it didn't matter how many times I swung the bat, doesn't matter where I hit the, I never got an out. I just was practicing. I was throwing, I was pitching, I was catching, I was batting, I was doing all these things. I was just practicing, getting ready. And that's what the Bible in mind. Practice these things. Don't get so discouraged because you're not the Apostle Paul. Don't worry about that. Take steps this week to put this into practice. Begin focusing on the positive. Take these verses and apply them in your heart and in your mind. Number two, those with reset minds take every thought captive. Oh, I love this one. Don't miss the imagery here. This isn't in your notes either, so jot this verse down. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. Okay, remember David, Psalm 27? He was walking in the flesh and waging war in the flesh. There were physical armies encamped around him that wanted to destroy him. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And I just love the imagery of when that thought pops in your head, that negativity, that gossip, that lust, that whatever it is, man, you take that thing captive. You lock it in a room and put a padlock on it and put Jesus at the door. Take that thought captive. The Bible teaches that we have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we think about how the world affects our mindset and affects our thought life. And we think about the things around us. We think about the devil, as we've talked about in Mark 5 and here in this text. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. There is a spiritual battle that is going on. But the one I most struggle is my own flesh. Just the battles that I wage within my own mind as it relates to so many other things, whether it's lust, covetousness, pride toward other people. How about this one? Have you ever had one of those conversations with someone else in your mind? Yeah. And you have that conversation with them, and okay, if they say this, then I'm going to say that. And if they come back with this, then I'm going to say this. And we work ourselves way up. We have this really like 30-minute conversation, and that conversation maybe takes 30 seconds, you know. And we spend all this mental energy worrying and thinking through and all the machinations. And the truth is, between the world, the flesh, and the devil, they want to mess with your head. They want to mess with your mind. And Jesus says, I will offer you a reset. Take those thoughts captive. When you come to those times, world, flesh, devil, battle of the mind, this is something that I want you to remember, and I want you to put this in your notes because it's not there. I am loved, and in Jesus, I am enough. Can I get an amen? When the battle begins to rage in your mind, whether it's coming from the world, it's coming from the devil, it's coming from your own flesh, I want you to declare this truth in the name of Jesus. I am loved, and in Jesus, I am enough. I don't need to stress. I don't need to worry about all this other stuff that's around me. Don't miss that. Lastly, before we go, on the back of your notes here is my action step. My action step. What thought are you currently battling that you need to bring under the authority of Jesus? And as I told you last week, I want to encourage you, before you lay your head on the pillow tonight, I want you to write something in these blanks. Write something down. What is it? Where is that piece of turmoil? Where is that anxiety? Where is that distress? Where is that mayhem? What is it that you are currently battling? What is the thought? And you need to rush toward Messiah, lower yourself in submission, and put it under his authority, and take that thought captive. Don't listen throughout this teaching about resetting the mind and miss the opportunity to lay this, whatever it is, under the authority of Jesus in your life. Don't let the world, the flesh, and the devil continue to beat you over the head with the thoughts that distract and deter us. So as you're thinking about that, we're going to show our closing video. And then I'm going to share one final scripture and then offer a prayer as we close today. So guys, let's show that as you're thinking about your action step. I love that I skipped over it earlier, but this whole idea of you can really only think about one thing at a time. We can multitask a lot of different things, but when you're thinking, you can really only think of one thing at a time. Choose what that one thing will be. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. I appeal to you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Last week in our closing of our message about Jesus reset my heart, we talked about the transformation that will begin as he resets our heart and the work of his spirit in our lives as we continue to grow in sanctification. And we see in this week, in this text, the connection, the transforming by the renewing of our mind. And so as we prepare to close this service and as we think about that area that we are battling, that area that we are struggling, may our prayer this morning be, Jesus, reset my mind. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me offer this prayer. And as we did last week, if this is the prayer of your heart, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand in just a moment. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me offer this prayer. Father, here we are, your children in need of you. We need your presence, your power, your wisdom, and your love. We need your reminder for how to live the life that is truly life, true life. That's what we are after here, true life and true thoughts. May we lean into what you say about us, Father, and cast aside the myriad opinions. Help us leave the madness behind, God. Help us receive the healing, the beauty, the courage, the confidence, the reset we find in you. And if you're here this morning and that's your prayer, Jesus, reset my mind. May my focus be on those things which are above, not beneath. May I take those thoughts captive. May I rush to you, my Savior, in those times of difficulty and not run away. If that's the prayer of your heart this morning, would you lift up your hand? Just raise it up to heaven. Amen. God bless you all over the room. God bless you. Jesus, reset my mind. I believe that just as you worked and had power over the evil one in the life of the madman of Gerasenes, that power is available in my life as well. You are greater. You are enough. And so now I can bask in the promise that I am loved, and in you, I'm enough too. Father, work in the hearts and lives. And Lord, you know the battle. You know how they filled in that blank. Whatever it is, Father, encourage them, help them. And as we walk out these doors this morning, help us to put into practice these truths. Reset our mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for being here today. It's been a wonderful weekend here at Adventure.